Hi, I'm Josh Horowitz, and I'm going to teach you the basics of klezmer accordion style as I know it. I'm going to jump right in with a husital melody, which I call Podolzer's husital, at a medium tempo in 2/4 meter. After I play it, I'm going to isolate all the elements of its performance for you. So here it is. So the mode that this tune is in is called Phrygisch, or Ahava Rabo. The ascending scalar form of this mode goes like this. And descending. And notice that below the tonic note A in this mode, there is an F sharp rather than an F natural. So beginning on A, the group of notes you will find below the A are typically Now I'll play some basic ornaments. I divide ornamentation into two academic sounding categories, micro-ornamentation and macro-ornamentation. Micro-ornamentation means the nuance with which we play the melody without changing the actual shape of the melody. In other words, just basically ornamenting single notes. So we start with the basic trill, say from D, going to D, E, D. The lower mordant using D, C sharp, D. And the basic half-step trill going up, D, E flat, D. Now this basic half-step trill I just played is very common in Balkan music, especially Bulgarian, but klezmer musicians also use it. Notice that the upper note, E flat, is not one of the notes of the original mode, which would normally be E natural. So notes outside the mode like this give the music a darker color. And some more ornaments. We have the fingered tremolo using E flat. The fingered tremolo I just played is an idiosyncratic accordion effect, which is produced by holding down one note while rhythmically touching the note above or below that note. So we can also hold down the D and touch the C sharp below it. Another ornament is the florid turn, beginning on the principal note like D. Also the florid turn beginning on the upper note E. We can also use an ascending glissando to connect two different notes, say A moving up to D. We're actually using those those notes, A, C, C sharp, D. We can also use descending glissandi, say from D down to A. Or one of my favorites is the descending glissando from the high octave. So I'm actually using and giving the illusion of having a full glissando and actually only using four notes. So now I'm going to show you the basic krechts, which in Yiddish refers to the cracking or sobbing of the voice. This is probably the most typical of the ornaments used in klezmer music, but it's also found in many different cultures, especially Balkan and Middle Eastern. Its sound imitates weeping. Here it is. There are two basic types of krechtzen. The first uses an escape note. This effect is produced on the accordion with a strong bellows crescendo on the principal note, which, when it reaches its peak, leaves through another note, usually a second, a third, a fourth, or an octave above the principal note. So I'll play each type from the note A. Here's the note A, left using the B flat as the escape note. Now I'm going to use C natural as the escape note. Now I'm going to use C sharp as the escape note. And now I'm going to use D as the escape note. And finally, I'm going to use the upper octave A as the escape note. The second kind of krechts is used in scalar passages, usually descending. I call this type the zigzag krechts because when it's used, it gives a melodic line a zigzag contour. Escape notes a little bit louder so you can hear them. So each melody note, before it goes to the next note downward, first goes to the note above itself. So for example, this simple descending line goes. Which when I put some krechts notes in there, some escape notes, it sounds like this. The third kind of krechts is used to connect two notes which ascend. For instance, when A moves to B flat, before the B flat is reached, the note C or C sharp is just touched upon. So here is A to B flat with the C natural touched upon. The same phrase with C sharp touched upon. I'm not going to play the left hand now so you can hear it. It's important that the principal notes A and B flat are connected fairly legato, otherwise the weeping effect is lost. So now I'm going to demonstrate how to phrase melodies using four note groups. Here's a typical melody line played straight with no phrasing, starting on the high G. If we phrase the four note groups asymmetrically as one and three, it sounds like this. Now phrased asymmetrically as three and one, it sounds like this. Now phrased asymmetrically as 1 plus 2 plus 1, it sounds like this. We can also phrase symmetrically as four even legato notes, like this. or we can phrase them symmetrically as four detached notes. Or we can phrase them symmetrically as two and two. In general, the melody will be more rhythmic and interesting when we mix asymmetric phrasings with symmetric ones. So I'm just going to play around with that a little bit so you can hear. So listen again to the A section of the Husserl, concentrating now on the ornamentation and the phrasing of it. So macro ornamentation means adding groups of notes to the melody while keeping the basic shape of the melody intact, but still adding them. There are hundreds of traditional phrases which klezmer musicians typically use, so the possibilities are actually almost infinite. Probably the easiest place to demonstrate macro ornamentation is at the cadence, the last two bars of any section of a klezmer tune, where the phrase ends, because this portion of the melody is often varied by klezmer players. So here's a simple cadence without any ornamentation. The cadence I just played is in A Frege-ish, and it starts on the note F sharp and ends on the A. If we keep the first notes and the last two notes, the first two notes and the last two notes of the cadence intact, we can vary the inner notes as we please. So I'm going to keep those two notes the same, but vary the inner notes. Using that same principle of varying the inner notes, I'm just going to play a series of variations, one after the other, without repeating them. Okay, now about harmony. Old klezmer harmonies almost always use only major and minor triads, if that. Their bass motion is usually restricted to repeated notes, seconds, thirds, fourths, and fifths. So I'll demonstrate a basic summary of the whole harmonic system without further comment. Number one is modal interchange. That's A minor to A major. Movement up by a major second, going from G minor to A major. Now with the melody. Movement up by a major second, that would be going from G major to A major. Going up a minor third, that would be A minor to C major. Going up a minor third, that would be A minor to C minor. Melody. Going up a perfect fourth, A minor to D major. A minor to D minor. Going A major to D major, that's up a perfect fourth. And finally, up a perfect fifth, A major to E major. Usually harmonies are repeated for long stretches before changing, so it's good to avoid too much patterned playing. To demonstrate what I mean by avoiding monotonous patterns, I'm going to sing the A section of the Husserl so you can hear what the accompaniment in the left hand is doing. The standard pattern of bass movement, which many people use, is the alternating 1-5-1-5 pattern. That would go A, E, A, E. As practical as this is, I want to advise against its overuse, as it may tend to make the natural flow of a tune too rigid if used too much. So try instead to design a bass line which makes use of a mixture of the following. 1-1-1-5. Or 1-5-5-1. Or 1-5-1-1. Or even 1-5-5-5. So when we place the left hand chords in between these asymmetric patterns, we sound more flexible. For example, remember also that we can leave beats out. When we enter again with the bass, the music takes on more momentum, like in the C section of the Husserl. So we've come to the end, and I'm going to finish with a fast Bulgar, which I concocted for you, to use many of the elements that I've just shown you. So thanks for listening, and enjoy. ¶¶